Have you seen Jesus as he really is? Do you know who Jesus really is? The place we reached in Luke, we're studying Luke every week, the place we reached, many had rejected Jesus, many turned from him, many gave him some honor, but they came far short of the truth. They said, he's a great man, he's a prophet. But Jesus' disciples, they'd seen all these things. They heard what people were saying. But they said, in verse 20, they said, you are the Messiah. You are the Christ of God. You are that promised Savior come from heaven to deliver the nations from sin. Many had rejected Jesus because he wasn't coming with great earthly power that they wanted to see. No political power, no military power. He wasn't promising to make the nation to be full of gold and peace again, like before, like under King Solomon and others. But he came to tell them they need to be freed from sin, and that he'd come to defeat death. Come to defeat death by dying for our sin, taking our sin upon himself, come to set us free, and that we need that redemption. Don't look for redemption in politicians or new parties. Don't look for redemption in education or a new job, but for your soul to be saved and to have eternal life and the Spirit of God in your life, you need to repent and come to Christ. Well, Jesus had begun to tell them that it was going to be the way of the cross, that glory would come through the way of the cross. He was to be rejected, crucified, and after 3 days would rise again. His disciples also must follow after him in this way. But just now, for a short time, he let them see who he really is. Just a brief moment up this mountain, he let them see who he really was. So we start with verse 28 and 29. Jesus revealed the glory of who he is. Now, up this mountain, he took just three of his disciples with him, says verse 28, Peter, John, and James. These were the closest three. Another time in chapter 8, he raised up a little girl from the dead, the daughter of Jairus. He brought her back from the dead. And these three only he took with him to see it. Some disciples are closer to Jesus than others. All Christians have great, great blessings. But some walk with him more closely. To some, he shows things and blessings that he doesn't show to others. Do you want to be closer to Jesus? Do you want to know him better? I was reading this morning the book of Daniel, and an angel came and told him, Daniel, you are greatly loved, that your prayers have been heard. And there was a time when Daniel had other people with him, and God came to show a vision, but those others had to run away. They couldn't come so near to God as Daniel did. Some believers are nearer to God than others are. Don't you want to be nearer to God? To get closer, to know him better? Well, he took them up a mountain, and they went there to pray. Still verse 28. Again, we find Jesus praying, as many other times, especially in these verses. Just 2 weeks ago, verse 18, Jesus was praying in private. Praying not just for special occasions, not just for certain days, something you should be found in always. Do you pray? If we wrote of the things that happened in your life, will it say, well, one time he was praying, one time she was praying, and these things happened? They went up a mountain, a place to get away from the crowds, a place to be able to pray in some quiet and some peace. fix your mind on God. Have some freedom to seek Him without so many other things pressing upon you, using your time. It's important to make time to pray, to find the quiet times and the quiet places. Don't just say, oh, I'm so busy all the day. Sometimes you need to make a special effort. Go up the mountain where you can be alone to pray. Well, it seems they prayed perhaps through the night. As we read later, verse 32, Peter, James and John were very sleepy. So it seems probably they were praying into the night. Peter and others started to fall asleep. I wonder what they prayed. I mean, Jesus perhaps was praying God would give them strength, that they would be able to go the way of the cross, they wouldn't give up, that they would see the true glory of Jesus, they would believe in His kingdom and His resurrection, that they wouldn't give up, that by faith they may have eyes to see what is ahead and the reasons to continue. Well, God gave an amazing answer to prayer. As He was praying, as Jesus was praying, verse 29, the appearance of His face changed. One of the other Gospels tells us it shone even brighter than the sun, the brightest thing that we know of in the world. And it shone even brighter. It says His clothes became as bright like a flash of lightning. You look at a flash of lightning up close, you'll have to cover your eyes. In Mark it says, it was whiter than anybody can make your clothes. There were people in those days, it was their job to make your clothes white. As white as they could. Well, Jesus' clothes were even whiter than that. Well, what was this? What was happening? It's like the curtain being drawn back. You go into people's houses, and often they've divided their room with a curtain. And part of the house is private. You don't see the things that are behind there. You don't go in there. It's private. It's hidden. But here, the curtain is drawn back. And you see who the Lord Jesus Christ really is. They saw His glory. The brightness of His glory was brighter than anything it could imagine. Underneath His humble appearance, behind that appearance of a poor man, behind the appearance of one rejected, one with no political power, one with no earthly riches, they saw the glory of the Son of God. They saw the glory of the Creator of the world, brighter than the sun, more stunning than lightning. That's who He really is. The Son of God with power. Now, why is He showing it to them now? Why now to see these things? Well, He's just spoken of the way of the cross. He's just told them discipleship will be hard. So He gives them a sight, a glimpse, so they can know it's worth it. That after the sufferings, after the troubles, after the difficulties of serving Jesus in the world, they'll see His glory. They will share that glory. That glory will be them also. Just a sight. Sometimes God gives us special times of blessing. Sometimes when heaven seems so close, spiritual things seem so real and big, when sin seems so evil, but when glory seems to run through us, just for a time, He strengthens us and encourages us. Then He gives us challenges to go through with faith, to keep believing, to know what is afterwards, the glory that is coming. Now these apostles, Peter, James, John, others, they were to preach the glory of Christ after His resurrection. After He rose from the dead, they were to tell people that He was the Lord of all. And they were to begin the church. They were to lay the foundation. So it was right for them to be eyewitnesses. Right for them to be able to see, with my own eyes, I have seen the glory of the Son of God. We're not telling you stories. We're not telling you things we made up. We're not telling you something that we just heard. A friend told us. Another friend was telling him. Now we've seen. We've seen and we know that this is the Son of God. Those apostles, they testified with their blood. Church history tells us, all of them, except the Apostle John, but all the others, the 11 others of the 12, Judas died, another one was brought in, but those 11 others, they all testified with their blood, because they knew what they had seen. Would anybody die just for a story that's passed on from their grandmother and their grandmother's friend and their grandmother's friend's brother? Would you give your blood for such a story? But these apostles had seen with their own eyes. On your sheet, you have some words that Peter wrote later, many years later, near the end of his life. Sometimes at the end of the life, somebody will say, my life was a lie. I deceived myself. I was deceived too. I've been living for a lie. But Peter, at the end of his life, says something different. He says, we did not follow cleverly invented stories, made up stories, when we told you about the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses. We saw eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred or holy mountain. So Peter, at the end of his life, says, this is not a story, this is what we saw ourselves. We heard the voice of God saying, this is my Son. Why did Jesus not show them before? Why wait until now? Remember, last week and week before, we heard them saying, you are the Messiah, you are the Son of God. Jesus wanted them first to believe and to confess their faith, and then they were shown the glory later. That's how it is for disciples. God thinks we should believe that he's shown us enough. There's enough in this world. There's enough in this book. You don't need to hear the voice of God speak from heaven. You don't need the clouds to open and glory to come down. God has given you enough. There are hundreds, there are thousands, there are millions of believers in Jesus Christ today. And yet, we've not seen his form. We've not seen the skies open. But we know that we're sinners. We know that we need a Savior. We know God is holy. And we see that God also is loving and kind, and the sun and the rain give us mercy. When we read in the Bible of Jesus and his death on the cross, the Holy Spirit shows to us that this is the Savior. And if you look for another one who died for your sins, you can't find him anywhere. There's nobody in the Muslim religion who died to pay the price of your sin. No one in Hinduism. There's no one but Jesus. God's way is first faith and afterwards sight. First we walk in darkness, but we believe, and afterwards he brings us light. That's what he did with his disciples here. Trust God and wait for him Trust God and keep holding on. And one day he will make things much clearer. Let's go forward. Verse 30, verse 31. We've seen the glory of who Jesus is. Now, the glory of his work. There were two other men there. They're Moses and Elijah. Means Peter knew who they were. How did he know? It doesn't say. Somehow God made it clear that this was Moses and Elijah. Why those two men? Why not others? Why not Samuel? Why not David? Why not Saul? Why these two men? Well, Moses, he was the man of the law. He's the man to whom the law of God was given. The man who led Israel out of Egypt and led them to the mountain where they became the people of God. And they received his commandments for them. So Moses is the man of the law. And Elijah, he's the greatest of the prophets. He called Israel back to God in days of great trouble and did many miracles. All the prophets after him, they prayed that they would be faithful like Elijah was faithful. These two appeared. So the law and the prophets. Of the Jews, if they say the law and the prophets, let's think of the whole of the Old Testament. The whole of the time of the nation of Israel. The law, time of the law and time of the prophets. Now it says they appeared in glory. That's verse 31, they appeared in glorious splendor. You know, the dead believers, they're not dead, really. Now, they're dead to this world. They're dead to this present creation. But they're alive to God. They're alive with God. Death for believers in this life, it is the gateway into glory. It is the door into the presence of God. Believers receive glory the moment that they die. They go into heaven straight away, no delay. Jesus said once to the dying thief, he said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." So Moses and Elijah, they had the glory of God in them and through them. And it was seen when they came to visit Jesus on this mountain. Now, what did they speak about? What did they talk about with Jesus? It's verse 31. They spoke about his departure, krutoka, his exit. He spoke about his leaving, which he was to accomplish, that he was to perform. It says here, to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. They spoke about the cross. They spoke about how he would leave this world, how he would die on the cross. Now the Greek word, the one that was written by Luke, is Exodus. They spoke about his exodus that he would achieve at Jerusalem. Now Moses, he knew some things about an exodus. He knew about leading the people of God out of slavery, leading the people out of darkness, and bringing them into God's inheritance. He knew about the blood of the Passover lamb. He knew about God's judgment on evil in Egypt. He knew about bringing the people into new life. But the exodus of the cross is much, much greater. Not just an earthly Pharaoh, not just earthly suffering, but on the cross, Jesus freed his people from sin and death, freed them from the power of evil in their lives, leads them to a glorious and heavenly inheritance, leads them into eternal peace and eternal life. much, much greater exodus. Elijah, he knew about these things. He called the people back. He said, remember what God did for you, you Israelites. God saved you out of Egypt. God made you his new people. God gave you his laws. Obey them. Repent. Turn back to them. Remember the blood of the Lamb that saved you. Elijah knew about these things too. All the prophets preached about them. Jesus on the cross made a better exodus. His blood saves us forever and forever. What are we seeing here on the mountain? What are they talking about? It's Jesus, the Son of God, crucified to redeem us. Christ and him crucified. And that's the whole Christian message. That Jesus is the Son of God who died for our sins and rose again. And he's the King. And we're to serve him. That's what Moses and Elijah wanted to discuss. They were great men. But they wanted to know about what Jesus would do. Peter, later, he wrote about this gospel, about this salvation we had. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. He says, about this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come, they searched intently, as closely, very close search, with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and the circumstances or the situation to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Those prophets had the Spirit of Christ in them. Their prophecies pointed to many things, but they were leading their great goal, their great target, with the sufferings of Christ and the glory that would come after. The prophets of Israel were preaching the death and resurrection and glory of Christ. Now, if you want something else from Christianity, then it's not there. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one comes to the Father except through his cross, his blood. You must repent. Rely on his death to take away God's anger. If all the prophets, if Jeremiah and Daniel and Hosea and Zephaniah and Zechariah and Nahum, if they all should come and preach to us today, they'd preach to you about Calvary and about the resurrection. Well, let's look at the final verses, 32 to 36. Again, it's about Jesus being revealed. Jesus revealed as the one way to the Father. Now, Peter spoke. What would you say? You saw these things? You come up the mountain with your two friends and with Jesus, your teacher. Now, there's two more men, glorious men. Moses, Elijah. And now Jesus himself is shining brighter than the sun. What would you say? Well, if you don't know what to say, sometimes better just to be quiet, to wait, and to learn. Peter, he spoke, and it says he didn't really know what he was saying. That's end of verse 33. He didn't know what he was saying. But he said, Master or teacher, it's good. It's good here. Why don't we make three shelters? Make three tents. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Now what is Peter thinking? Maybe he's thinking, the kingdom of God is to come from here. Up this mountain we'll build now our camp. This will be our headquarters. And we will go and conquer the world from here. Some of the Jews had taught that Elijah would come again. Before the Messiah's kingdom. Some of them even said Moses will come with Elijah. So maybe he thought, now from here, will go out to defeat the enemies of God and the kingdom of God will start here. But I don't know what he's thinking. I'm not sure he knew either. So, you can't put Jesus and say, three tents, Jesus, Elijah, Moses. You can't put them together like that. Moses and Elijah were servants. Jesus is the Son. Moses and Elijah were sinners. They made mistakes. They did wrong. One time, Moses got angry and he disobeyed God's command. God said, you can't enter the promised land. You're a sinner. One time, Elijah, his faith almost completely failed. And he said, God, take me away. I don't want to live. God, just let me die. My work is useless. My life is useless. God, take me away. And God said, not so. There are 7,000 faithful Israelites who are serving me. Elijah, your preaching is encouraging them to continue. Your life is not useless. But Elijah almost gave up. But Jesus is the Holy One. He never sinned. Jesus walked perfectly in the way of his Father at all times. Not only a man, but the Son of God. Now a cloud came over them. A cloud of God's glory, it must have been. Verse 34. While Peter was speaking, a cloud appeared and it enveloped them, or it covered them. They were afraid. And God himself now spoke. Verse 34. A voice came from the cloud. Very few times this happens in the Bible. In the beginning, in Genesis, God speaks. He says, let there be light. In the book of Job, God speaks out of the cloud and the storm. In the New Testament, just three times. Jesus, when he was baptized, that's the first. Now, here on this mountain, that's the second. And then later, just shortly before he was crucified, God spoke again. But only three times does the Father speak from heaven. What did he say? It must be important. God doesn't speak often. And in the New Testament, the words are very few each time. He said, this is my Son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him. In other translations, this is my Son whom I love. He's the choice one. He's beloved. Listen to him. Actually, the same words at his baptism. The Spirit came down at his baptism and the Father said, this is my beloved Son. With him I'm well pleased. Do you know what would happen if the skies opened today and God the Father spoke? You might say some very wonderful new word is going to come. God is going to say something new. What will it be? But God didn't say anything new. He said, listen to my Son. If God himself were to appear to you today, he would just tell you, listen to Jesus. Listen to what Jesus is telling you. Jesus had been telling them about the way of the cross. He'd been telling them about his sufferings. He'd been telling them early in the chapter. He's going to be rejected. He's going to die. On the third day he'd rise. And his disciples must follow in the same way. Those are the things Moses and Elijah were now speaking about. Do you want to know the way of God? Do you want to know the way to heaven? Do you want to know about salvation? Listen to what Jesus is telling you. Don't look for something more exciting or something new, something different. Open the scriptures. We read from Peter earlier. There's a few words at the end. We're in 2 Peter, the part the part there. So we heard that voice. It said, "This is my son whom I love. With him I'm well pleased." And it comes to verse 19. It says, "We have the word of the prophets made more certain. You will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." Peter speaks about the word of the prophets confirmed to us, speaking about what's written in the scriptures. He continues, if you look into Peter, you'll see he continues to talk about the scriptures. He says that they were given by God. He says, "You've got the written words of God, and they're sure, and they're certain. Don't go looking for a voice from heaven. Don't go to find a prophet to give you a new revelation. But the things that are written in the Bible, seek for them, understand them, believe them, practice them. Listen to Jesus." Do you agree with the voice of God? He said, "This is my son whom I love." So look to him and put your eyes and your heart on him. Do you agree? Do you love Jesus? Is he everything to you? Is he just small? Peter, when he spoke, he said, Jesus, Moses, Elijah, let's just put the three of you together. But God said, "Peter, you're not listening. This one is my son. He is everything. Is all your faith and hope for eternal life in Jesus? You're trusting in his death. Are you following his commandments?" Better than visions and clouds of glory, better than that is to read these words, to believe them. Repent, trust in Jesus, and follow him for eternal life.